All right, let's call to order the meeting of the Planning Committee, Tuesday, September 5th, 8:30 a.m. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. So I have a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving on to the next item, and the motion carries. Moving on to the next item on the agenda is public comments. If you have a public comment, you get 2.5 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record. If you are here for public comment, please come forward.
Good morning. Stuart Whiteside, Seaman Whiteside & Associates, 501 Wando Park Boulevard. At last month's committee meeting, we explained the reasons for the extension for Liberty Hill Farms Development Agreement Amendment, mainly the COVID issues and supply chain issues that caused them to not complete the subdivision within the designated time. I also read off all the improvements and contributions that were made by the developer, which totaled several million dollars with under the existing current development agreement. I can go through those again later if y'all like, but I've had the list with me if y'all need them. When we had the discussion last time about the amendment, y'all were looking for some other contributions from the developer. We'll say that we are proposing now just a 3-year extension to the development agreement to be able to complete it. And the developer is also willing to participate by donating $25,000 to the proposed bike path on Rifle Range Road between Cultivation Way, right-of-way, a roundabout, and the new Vaughn Edley Parkway. At that time on the agenda, we'd be glad to discuss these contributions and the development agreement amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else for public comment?
Good morning. Mike Tinkey, 208 Benning Street. I want to thank, I'm speaking here about the seats on the board for the Historic District Commission, and I'd like to thank Michelle for her hard work on this. I know it was crazy because we've had 2 seats open of the 5 and 2 more coming due in December, and it seemed scary because we couldn't really conduct the business if we didn't have the people. So it makes all the sense in the world we'd be looking for solutions. We heard the call. And we have 2 new people on the board. Warren Player is on the board, and David Creech has joined it. And we have a number of other people in the pipeline now that are ready and willing to serve should the mayor and the council deem it appropriate to appoint those. We think it's really important that the people from this Historic District Commission be from the town. They will uniquely know the town. They'll be aware of what's going on. And they'll be have a vested interest, really, in what goes on in the town. We also think that the 2-year maybe should go to 5 years. There's sufficient people in there that if they've been in 5 years, they'll really understand what's going on in the neighborhood. Again, I realize that's a difficulty and seems like a crazy thing since we couldn't find people before. But I think we've got plenty of people that are willing to serve now. I especially think it's important not to have somebody from the business that is not a resident, because the reality is HDPC is talking primarily about residential issues, not business issues. So I think it's good to leave that out. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I think that's it. I would encourage you to table or take action on this to leave the way it's written now, or to extend it to 5 years, and ideally not have one that's from the outside. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm. Is there, oh, yes.
Good morning. I'm James Wilson with Wattwoodbon Dickinson. I live at 722 Dragoon Drive, Creekside. I am here with Patrick Allen on behalf of Liberty Senior Living, which owns and operates the South Bay CCRC, which is a continuing care retirement community. And we are here to speak about the item on your agenda for the expansion of the existing South Bay community. This is a project. This would be the second phase of it that was already approved as Patrick will briefly describe, they have a long waiting list, including lots of local residents who would like to move into the community, so there's a real need here. This was approved as part of the Central Mount Pleasant PD. The PD was amended a couple times to explicitly include this CCRC project. Not only was the project approved in these units, but of course the traffic was studied. And so we are, of course, staying within all of the approved limitations and the approved amount of traffic impact. We did also do, not required for this process, but just did a traffic study just to get a sense of what's going on out there. And the residents, while the younger residents, I'll call them, do drive, of course, they age along, they end up not driving at some point. So there's a fairly small number of traffic trips that are generated from this project overall. The reason why we need to be here and are asking for your approval is because this project, even though it's a CCRC, it qualifies as multifamily, so it would fall within the existing moratorium and cap on multifamily units. So this is requesting an amendment to the PD to allow this second phase of the project to proceed, basically as an exception to the moratorium and cap. It's a very narrowly tailored request, meaning it's just for this site within this PD. We did talk about whether it should be a more sort of general exception to the moratorium, but we just wanted to put a very narrow limitation, narrowly tailored request before you. In short, we think this is a great project serving a real community need, and be glad to answer any questions when you get to us. And we'll let Patrick just describe the South Bay community a little bit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Patrick Allen with Liberty Senior Living, Director of Development for on behalf of South Bay. Thank you all for the opportunity to speak about this community. I choose the word community intentionally because we view ourselves as a community, and that's what we seek to create. Our residents enjoy more than just a place to live, more than just meal options, but speaker series, fitness communities, training opportunities, things that create a home as opposed to just a place to live. Most importantly, we have significant healthcare options on site, ranging from assisted living to memory care to rehab to skilled nursing. We find that it's common for our residents to move in and stay throughout the course of their lives as they progress through the levels of care. Our intention today is simply to move forward with completing the project that was originally entitled. We don't ask for any additional density. If approved, we've moved forward with the design and construction of 109 new homes for residents. Presently, we have a waiting list of over 165 potential residents who'd like to join us. It's an important item to note is that 9 of our 10 zip codes that our residents move from are all local. We've got one straggler that's, you know, from further away, but everything else, they're local residents who are trying to stay here in their home. Again, lastly, there's a great need for expanded senior services here in Mount Pleasant. There's a couple great CCRC programs in the Charleston area, ourselves, Bishop Gadsden, Frankie, and they're all full. And so we'd like to be able to expand to serve this growing need here in town. Appreciate your time. Happy to answer any questions as we move along. Thanks.
All right.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Miles Marchant. I live at 135 Toomer Lane. I'm the former chairman of the Old Village Historic Commission. And I want to reinforce what Mr. Tinkey said. I think we appreciate y'all tabling the motion on the floor. I think putting more people on there who are not a resident of the village would be a mistake. The challenges and opportunities there are pretty unique, and it's tough enough living there and understanding them. I think people who don't live there would not have a good grasp on it. But it's important to us, and I think the reason as soon as we heard that they were we're having trouble finding candidates, we went to work. We've got two good ones that we've recently been appointed. We've got, I think, three others who are interested in the upcoming seat. So we'd appreciate it if you'd leave it the way it is for a while. Let's see if it works out. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else for public comment? All right. Moving on from public comment. Item 4A.
Good morning. Thank you. This first request before you is a proposal to amend the Central Mount Pleasant Plan Development. And the use for a CCRC is already allowed in this plan development. What they want to do is ask for to be exempt from the moratorium, the building permit allocation system. So just a little bit of context. We're talking about the neighborhood tract here that's outlined in red. You have Hungry Neck to the north, you have Rifle Range to the south. Here it is in an aerial, and here it is on the future land use. And it was, so 2015, there was an amendment to this plan development. This whole area was originally designated for residential. A CCRC under planning and zoning it's a little bit confusing, but it is viewed and designated as a commercial use. But when you go to pull a building permit, the building permits are pulled as if they are multifamily. So in 2015, there was an amendment to that neighborhood tract to, there was a comprehensive plan amendment, a development agreement amendment, and then the PD amendment to change that from residential to commercial to allow the CCRC use. Along with that 2015 amendment was the traffic generation summary table was updated to include that for 398 CCRC units. So that all was approved. Since that time, you had 279 units, which was phase one, permitted and constructed. The development agreement subsequently expired in 2017. Phase two, which is what we're talking about now, while it is approved in the PD, the development agreement has expired, so it's not protected under that, and it is now subject to the building permit allocation and moratorium. So this request before you is to make this specific CCRC and this tract only exempt from the town's growth management ordinances. So here's what we have existing. We have the 18 garden plats. It's three buildings, six units in each one. It's independent living. And then you have the 261 CCR units down in the corner. Here's what's proposed. So they're actually allowed 119 units. What they're proposing in this amendment is 109. They would do additional garden flats, and then they would expand the independent living down below. And then also they would complete Founders Way, or the construction of the road to Founders Way there. So this phase two was actually approved before Design Review Board as a conceptual plan, and this is what was approved at that time. Again, what they ran into was our building permit allocation system. So what's before you right now is to be exempt from the moratorium and the building permit allocation system, to update the CCR table unit count so that it would be 119 and they would lower it to 109, and then completion of that vehicular drive to Founders Way. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Committee, do you have any questions?
Yes,
Mr. Chapman.
Ms. Reed, you know, I called you about this application because I wasn't able to review Planning Commission's review and vote. Can you go into a little bit of detail about the discussions that the Planning Commission had regarding this and what their thought was? Because I know in terms of the number of votes, and the numbers, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, at the way they looked at it. And I'd like to hear a little more, and I know we have some members on this committee that would like to hear a little more about what the Planning Commission had to say and why they went forward with it.
Of course. So the Planning Commission, we were one person short at Planning Commission, so there was only eight members instead of nine. They did vote to recommend approval 7-1. There was one against. There was discussion really about the fact that this was different, that it was a true CCRC. If you think back to when I think it was the third extension of the moratorium, up until that third extension, it actually allowed for an exception to senior housing. And I think what really kind of drove that amendment to exclude that was what we saw on Faison Road in Carolina Park, which really wasn't a true CCRC. And so I think the fact that this was a true CCRC, the fact that it's been planned all this time, the fact that all the trips and the units are accounted for, I think that kind of swayed the Planning Commission. So they felt like, and the fact that, as Mr. Wilson spoke about, when we first started talking about this, we talked about the different ways you could do it. You could overall go back and ask for an exception to our growth management tools to allow for a CCRC, but that opens it up all over. If you keep it very specific to the PD and to this tract, then you're not going to see it anywhere else. You're only going to see it on this tract. So, but that was the outcome of the Planning Commission.
And they're reducing the number of units.
They are. They're going from 119 is what they have left to 109. And that'll be a mix of independent, the garden flats, and then a continuation of that skilled nursing area facility.
Ms. Corey?
So, Michelle, explain to me again. So, when I hear exception, that usually I just see gates opening, because after that, once you make one, you're never going back, right? That's one of my major concerns, is that we're making an exception to the moratorium, and I think those are hard to, you know, keep to once you let the floodgates open. And so there's absolutely no way that 5 years from now those units couldn't be turned into.
Now, this is a very specific use allowed on this property. It cannot be turned into any sort of multifamily or anything. CCRC is the specific use on this property. So,
and is there any way to get, I know that the word need has been used, but how do we know that, like, the community does indeed have a need for that? I know Frankie's is sold out. I always hear that it's hard to get in there.
Yeah. We hear that too. Nobody here is from the public today. I know that we had a couple of folks come to the Planning Commission for the public hearing. And I know one gentleman in particular is on the waiting list. He lives locally, wants to sell his house, move there. So we definitely hear about the need. I don't have specifics, but we certainly hear about the need for it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Ms. Hyatt, do you?
So does this cap out what they've been allowed for this? Or is this just a phase of it?
No, this will be the end of it. So phase two is the last phase. They have 279 units right now. They're allowed 398, which is 119 left. They are proposing 109. They plan to amend the PD, if this is approved, to say 109 instead of 119. So this would be it for this tract. It would be built out.
Mr. Chapman, do you have more to say?
Well, the only thing two things. Number one, I was emphatic about adding senior living to the moratorium. But it was because of what was happening on Faison Road in particular when we did. In this particular case, we've got an approved plan. We've got an improved impact statement. And from all that, we're reducing the number of units by 10. So I'm inclined to go forward with it. It's something that's needed in the community. And apparently there are people ready to move here. So.
Thank you so much, Michelle. And I had the opportunity to tour this facility. It's beautiful. There's a lot of like interaction between the different locations. They do like a little tournament and Olympic thing. But I feel like this is a very similar situation to the Liberty Hill asking for more time and us entering into negotiations with them in extracting some value for the town in exchange for that extension. As we can see, Mr. Whitesides came up and said, you know, we went from getting nothing for extending this term to getting to potentially getting $25,000 to help build the Mount Pleasant Way. And what I wonder is, if is this not a similar situation where we could enter negotiations with them that in exchange for this extension, in exchange for this exception from the moratorium, that we would then maybe they could also contribute to, I mean, we need more bike paths, right? We need the Mount Pleasant Way to exist. So is that something that we could do as well, potentially, Mr. DeMora?
So this is not, the difference between this and Liberty Hill Farms is Liberty Hill Farms still has an active development agreement. There is no development agreement on this property. It's expired. So anything, any negotiations beyond that, I would probably need to defer to legal, but I'm not sure you could do it without a development agreement.
Okay, Mr. Paglini, can you speak to that?
Good morning. I do agree with Michelle regarding the development agreement. What I will say is, aside from that, this is contractual arrangement. This is a PD. This is not a straight zoning question. So there is some room for that. I do have some other legal issues that we probably want to discuss in confidentiality. But okay. Generally, yes, ma'am, I think you can.
Okay, thank you. On principle, though, I think I am comfortable moving forward with this. I think this is something that's needed in our community. I think as people age, it's wonderful to have an opportunity of somewhere they can go to and be through independent living to assisted living to memory care and through the end of their lives. I think that's a dignified way to spend the rest of your time on this planet. So I'm comfortable with it. Do we have a motion from, Ms. Hyatt?
So if we don't approve this, then where does this put them? They would just have to wait for, I mean, the moratorium expires after the first of the year.
It does. I mean,
what would happen if this didn't?
I think the concern from their perspective is the uncertainty of whether the building permit allocation system would be extended and then having to get in line with the other multifamily permits. But if everything expires as it's set to, so if the building permit allocation expires in January and the moratorium expires in March, they would build what they're approved for now, which is 119.
All right, do I have a motion from the committee?
I'll move for approval.
All right, do I have a second? I'll second the motion. We are in discussion. Is there any further discussion? No. All right, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Aye. Yeah. What did you say, Hua?
I said aye.
Aye. Okay, all right. So it passes 3-1. Recommendation to council to approve. Moving on to item B.
Okay, this is the same PD. Different tract, though. So this is the mixed-use center tract right here in red, adjacent to Hungry Neck. And this is the parcel in particular we're talking about. If you'll recall, I think it was about a year or two ago, there was actually a proposed gas station there. Well, we had somebody come in and want to do a athletic facility, and their plan development did not specifically allow for this use. So they are coming before you right now to allow a club or a gym on that site, and then it also didn't account for parking for that type of use, so they took the town's parking standards for this use, which is one space per 300 square feet, and so this amendment would allow a gym or athletic facility on the neighborhood mixed-use tract and then establish the parking standards.
All right, do we have any questions? We have a motion to approve.
I'll second it for discussion.
We have a second. We are in discussion. Mr. Chapman, did you have something?
Well, is this part of the same facility that we just discussed?
No.
It's completely different.
Yeah, the previous was the neighborhood tract, which is in yellow. This is the mixed-use tract, which is outlined in red. So it's a different tract within the PD.
It's outlined in red?
Yeah. Can you see it?
On the left. Oh, that whole thing.
It's the pink area up there, Mr. Chapman.
for STARS.
And this would be open to the public, is this correct? Is this an amenity to the retirement community?
I think it's open to the public.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of facility is proposed?
So this is just a conceptual. They would have to go to get zoning review and go to design review board. But they are proposing just an athletic club. You know, your typical, I think it's higher end. I don't think we're talking about a Planet Fitness. Not saying that's not, but I think it's a higher end athletic club. And the applicant may be here. Yes, he's here. So he can tell you all about the athletic
club. Sure, please come forward.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Good morning. My name is Joey Welling. I live 9 Ponce de Leon Court. This is my 37th year in Charleston, born and raised, went to Bishop England, went to the Citadel. And this will be my second facility. My first one's on Hughie Street. Just to answer your quick question, it's an athletic club, so you can come work out on your own, personal training. There's classes, there's yoga. There's even recovery space with saunas and cold tubs. But just as she said, this isn't no offense to Planet Fitness or Crunch Gym. I want everybody to work out in Gold's Gym. That's great, but this is more of a locally owned and operated facility.
Similar to?
What's your place in Hughie called? What's your place on Hughie Street called?
It's called Ethos Athletic Club.
Thank you. Do you have any further questions?
No, ma'am.
No? All right, thank you.
Well.
All right, we have a motion on the floor to approve and a second. Is there any further discussion, Ms. Hyatt?
So can you mention again about the parking?
So because this use isn't currently in the PD, they had to establish parking standards for the use, and so they just took what the town. So if a gym came in on a town zone property, that we would require one space per 300 square feet. So that's what they're going to implement for this.
Parking's tight in that area.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Moving on to item C, request to rezone CC, a vacant 1.5 acre parcel, currently located zoned R1.
Mm-hmm. So here we are. This backs it to Center Lakes subdivision off of Rifle Range. It is 1.5 acres, currently zoned R1, and it is recommended for settlement community future land use. So the request to CC is appropriate. And I believe the applicant would like to put a manufactured home there, and you're not allowed to do that in the R1. If this had come in, we had that gap, you recall, from the comp plans to the zoning, and so when it automatically came in, it came in as R1. It should have been CC. Yeah.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
And I'd like to add, I think there are several manufactured homes across the street, so it's not anything different than it's in the area.
All right, moving on to item D, request to annex and zone community conservation.
And a third, so this is actually three requests. They want to annex, they want to zone community conservation, and then they want to amend the comprehensive plan. And I'll explain that here in just a minute. So this does back up to the Park West off of Bessemer there. It's kind of a peninsula-shaped lot, 1.25 acres. It is in the county. And you can see here that from the comp plan, it's actually recommended for conservation open space. So if they were to automatically come in, they would be designated for open space, and they wouldn't be able to build a house. So again, this is three requests before you. The reason, actually, and Peter did some research on this and spoke with the county, but the reason I think that we probably designated it for conservation open space on the future land use is because the a canal runs just south of this property. It's adjacent to it, but there are no wetlands on the property. And so in other words, in order to come in and be CC, he also has to amend the comprehensive plan. So you can see here what he'd like to do. The owner is to, he'd actually like to do a rural compound, which is also only allowed in community conservation. The rural compound does have to meet the density requirements. So under the settlement community, they would be allowed up to 3 units per acre. The applicant is asking to do 3 manufactured homes there as part of a rural compound. And let's see here. You can see it there again. And that's all I have unless you have any questions. So again, this is a comp plan amendment to designate it from conservation open space to settlement community. There are no wetlands on it. I think it was probably just designated as such because of that canal. And then to annex in and zone CC, which is comparable to the settlement community land use.
And I can't remember if we did this or not, but did we vote that an amendment to the comprehensive plan has to be a supermajority of council? Did we or no? Did we change that or no?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. All right. So just a straight.
I think we did. We didn't?
I thought we did too.
I don't know. Did we?
I thought we did, but anyway, so just was just curious about that. All right, do we have a motion?
Well, I have one more question.
Yes.
Did we have any representatives from Phillips community by any chance that appeared regarding this request?
Yeah, so the Planning Commission did recommend approval for this. There were a few folks from the Phillips community that came. If you recall, when the large tract that was going to annex in probably about a year ago, a few months ago, they were against that because they were worried about the integrity of the Phillips community, the overlay, historic overlay district. I did reach out to the county. What he's wanting to do would be allowed in the county. The Historic Preservation Commission in the county had recently approved manufactured housing. So the use itself is not inconsistent with what the HPC, what the county would approve, nor is it inconsistent with that area. But the folks that came and spoke at the commission meeting just had concerns about the integrity of the overlay district. It wouldn't hurt the overlay district as a whole. I think the concern is, you know, you hear death by a thousand cuts, removing, would there be other parcels in the future? But what they're asking to do is consistent with the historic overlay. But that was the concern of a few of the members. And like I said, the commission ended up voting for, approval of this.
And if we deny this annexation, then they will have access to water and sewer.
Correct.
Yeah. So either way, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. He needs sewer to do the 3 manufactured homes.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Do we have a motion from?
I'll move for approval.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second? I will second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
All right. 2-2. Moves to council with no recommendation. Moving on to item E.
Okay. So this is the text amendment that we brought to you for discussion last month. It did go to planning. Based on that discussion, if you'll recall, the committee was not in favor of the portion of the amendment that included somebody that owns a business. The commission actually recommended approval as it was presented, but just kind of a little bit of a background, the historic district was put in place in 1979 with the zoning code. In 2006, it recodified to the Old Village Historic District Commission. In 2009, there was an emphasis on appointing a licensed architect or historic preservationist within the district, and in 2017, because there were issues with trying to find membership, there was an amendment to allow 1 seat outside of the Old Village of the 5. And so, as I had put in my email, since February, we had have trouble finding somebody to fill that seat, and so we wanted to look and see if we could expand that to get more folks to serve. And of course, that's you know, has transpired to what we have now, and I know that we filled those two seats. We do have two seats coming up in January, but that's what's before you now is the amendment to increase it from one to two of the seats to sit outside of the Old Village.
So for me, this is something that I think can be tabled for now because I feel like the community of the historic district is now aware of the fact that this is kind of in the pipeline if they are unable to fill these seats. And the work is already done, and if we need to implement it come January, February, it's possible that we can implement it at that point if we are unable to conduct the business of the Old Village, of the historic district. Any thoughts, other thoughts from committee?
Yeah, I agree. My only concern is I've heard from some previous representatives that have served on this committee that it is maybe more taxing than some of our other committees, and I don't know why that would be, but that was the only concern I had, that it's been more taxing and more difficult to work on this committee. Ms. Reed, have you heard that from anybody?
You know, it's a good point. We hear that from all of our boards and commissions. People get burned out.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we are looking at with our code rewrite for all of our boards and commissions, instead of 2 4-year terms, doing 3 3-year terms, perhaps we could get more folks interested if they know they're signing up for a 3-year term as opposed to a 4-year term. So that's something that we're running through legal right now, and we're looking to change. I can tell you that we staff is not necessarily in favor of making the increase or making the requirement from 2 years to 5 years. We think that's going to make it more difficult. We certainly understand, you know, tabling this, but we do think that change in the code rewrite, if we're able to do that, might help a little bit. But we're hearing that, Mr. Chapman, with all of our boards and commissions.
Yeah, I think a 5-year term is too much of a burden to place on someone. That you can always sign up and then renew it if it's something you want to do for a longer term. So I'm comfortable tabling this. Do we have a motion do we need a motion to that effect, or just we take no action?
Just take no action.
Okay. All right. Anyone want to take an action? Nope. All right. Moving on to item 5, an update on Liberty Hill Farms development.
Okay, so if you'll recall, last month the planning committee directed staff to explore possible infrastructure improvements. The one thing we did come up with is the Mount Pleasant Way network. There is a gap from the roundabout at Cultivation Way to the new Vonage Key Parkway. We felt like this would be a benefit to both the Liberty Hill and the immediate surrounding community. So you can see it here. It's in the works, it's planned, it's designed, it's about 2,000 linear feet of trail. And as you heard during public comment, we proposed this, and the developer is willing to make a contribution to this trail. But we feel like this would be a good way to benefit the Liberty Hill community and get them safely down to the new Rifle Range Park. So it would be kind of a benefit to that whole area.
Based on the negotiations, Mr. Demora, were you involved in those negotiations? Who was doing the negotiations?
It was myself and legal, and then our transportation department.
All right. And do you feel that, based on the additional number of homes that will be built there, that $25,000 is a reasonable? I mean, to me, it seems like a throwaway amount, right? Like you go to if you're a one person can go to a fancy auction and blow $25,000 on a week in Bermuda for charity, right? Like I how many millions of dollars is going to be made building these? How many more homes? 300?
Yeah.
I mean, if we did a percentage, 1% of the profit, I mean, that would.
It's going to be a total of 322 homes. 170 have been built. They do pay impact fees, so that's one difference from Carolina Park, is they don't pay the impact fees. I do know that Liberty Hill Farms, every time they pull a building permit, they pay impact fees, but I don't really, not sure I can speak to the amount.
I have my opinions, but this is a contractual matter. I don't feel comfortable expressing them
okay.
on the record.
I mean, is this something that will be on the agenda for council on Tuesday, and we'll have an executive session related to it?
We can, sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if we can do that, then that's something that I'm comfortable with. I don't think any action needs to be taken at this point, unless anyone on council feels or on committee feels there should be any action at this point. No. Yeah. Okay.
And real quick, Ms. Whitley, they've also asked, instead of a 5-year extension to their development agreement, they'd like to amend it to 3-year. And then I have a revised development schedule here. So that is another change from what you saw last month.
Ms. Hyatt?
I guess, again, I'm going to ask the question, what's the consequence if we don't allow them to move forward with this and extend it?
Well, so the development agreement is set to expire in October. And if it is not extended, they would be subject to the building permit allocation system, which does limit single family residential for a developer. But if that expires in January, then they would just continue and build their units.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else from the committee on this issue? Okay. If there's nothing further to come before us, then we stand adjourned. Thanks.